Our lesson for today is taken out of the 12th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, dealing with the imprisonment of Peter the Apostle. We find that Herod the king at this time stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James the Apostle, the brother of John, with the sword. This Herod, the king, he was a grandson of the Herod that had all the children slain under 2 years of age when Christ was born. He likewise was a nephew to Herod Antipas, the man that had John the Baptist beheaded. He likewise was a brother to Herodias, the woman that was married to that Herod that had John the Baptist beheaded. He likewise was the father of Herod Agrippa that we read of in Acts 25 and 26. Now, it was not the church at this time that started a persecution, but it was the king himself, Herod. He stretched forth his hand and vexed any number of the members of the Church of Christ, some by putting them in prison, others by stripping them of their goods and of many things that they enjoyed. And here we read, he also had James, the apostle, the brother of John, killed with the sword. This was a terrible thing for this king to do. He became in this a murderer. This is the only apostle that we read of how that he was killed in Scripture. Of all the other apostles, we read nothing of how that they met their death. This is the only one. How he was killed, various commentators do not give us much information. They just say that he stretched forth his hand, took him prisoner, and had him beheaded. In studying this lesson, I run across a very interesting account of how that this man, James, was killed. According to Eusebius, a historian, who writes of a certain man by the name of Clement of Alexandria, this James was taken before the court, before a judge, and a certain man stood up and was a false witness against James and condemned him. And by this false witness, this king took liberty to have him beheaded. But before that he pronounced what he was going to do with him, he gave him an opportunity to tell of the reason why that he was a Christian. And the Apostle James gave such a wonderful testimony of his faith and of the Lord Jesus Christ that this man, who was a false witness, was so impressed that he immediately became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he announced, while he stood before the judge, that he was also now a believer in Jesus Christ. And he likewise was condemned to death with James. And as they were going to the place of execution, this man beseeched James to forgive him for the sin that he had done against him. And James spake to the man and said, "Peace be unto you." And he embraced him and kissed him. And they both were led forth and were beheaded. This is the way that this Apostle James met his death. This Herod was a very cruel tyrant. He brought then the blood of this apostle upon his soul. And now he went forth, because he seen that it pleased the Jews, to take Peter and apprehend him and make him a prisoner. And after he had apprehended him, he placed him in prison, setting a watch in the prison of 4 quaternions of soldiers. This is 16 soldiers who attended this prison and took care that Peter would not escape. They worked in shifts of 4. 2 were in the prison. Peter was chained to these 2 soldiers in the prison, one on each side. There stood a soldier at the door of the cell, and there stood also a soldier at the door of the prison. The gate that we read of was the gate which opened to the prison grounds and led out to the street. This king then, he took great precautions to see that Peter would not escape from prison. Now we read that when he was put in prison, he kept him there because it was the Passover of the Jews, intending to bring them out after Easter and then bring him before the people and have him killed. It being the Passover, he dared not to do something like this, because at the time of the Passover, the Jews were a turbulent people, and they were aroused quite often to make insurrection and make trouble for the Romans. And now it says here that he intended to bring him out after Easter. Now, this is the only time that we read of this word Easter in the Bible. It's a wrong translation. Easter means a pagan festival held in April in honor of a goddess, a heathen goddess called Astarte, or the Ashtoreth of the Syrians. And now, Herod wanted to make sure that this man, Peter, would not escape. But we have the church in Jerusalem sending up a constant prayer to God. For we read, and prayer was made without ceasing for Peter by the church. We have then 2 groups. The king, a tyrant, a powerful man, who had Peter in the prison, who had the soldiers around the prison to keep him in. And we have the church, weak, insignificant, despised, but sending up constant prayer to God for Peter's release. When we look at this, we really would think that the enemy surely will triumph, for it is almost an impossibility from man's side that Peter would ever be delivered out of that prison. The king saw to that. But all things are possible with God. The king, he had a prison. The walls were very thick. The doors were made out of iron. And he had soldiers stationed. But the weapon that the church used was prayer. And now we find that this Herod, he was such a wicked and such a terrible creature that he wanted to make sure that this Peter would not get out and he be made a laughingstock. This he probably feared. And therefore, we find that Peter, he's kept in this prison until the days of the Passover were gone by. It was then the days of the unleavened bread. The Jews then had 7 days that they ate unleavened bread. And now the last night, the day before Peter was to come forth and to have a mock trial and to be killed, we find him in the prison chained to these two soldiers. And we find the church gathered together in a house sending up prayer. Now Peter, it appears from what we read, that he was sleeping. You would think, how is it possible that this man would be sleeping? The next day he was to be brought forth and maybe he would be killed. And here we find him sleeping in between two soldiers. If he moved one bit, these soldiers, they had a chain on each hand and they would know immediately. And Peter is sleeping. Was he praying? Was he doing like the church was? Probably not. How could he sleep? He was probably sleeping by faith. You know, you read in Psalm 3, I laid me down and slept. And I feared not, even if there were 10,000 of the people gathered round about me. And in Psalm 4 we read, I laid me down to sleep, and God, who was his protector, he had such faith and such trust in him, the psalmist, that he knew that he would take care of him. And now we have these apostles in the 5th chapter of the Acts also in prison. And when they were in prison there, an angel came down and delivered them out of the prison and sent them back into the temple to preach the word. Do you not think that these people that were praying remembered that? And likewise, this church praying for Peter had in mind what Jesus himself had said. He had said when he was upon earth that if any of you, two or three of you, consent to a matter upon the earth and ask of me, I will do it unto you. Ask, and I will do unto you whatsoever you ask. They then were pleading and praying in this house upon the promises that Christ had given. And now, Peter, he was sleeping, but the church did not go to sleep that night. They stayed awake. They gathered into this house, and there they were. All night, they intended to call upon God. And they loved this man, Peter. It was their servant, their apostle, their minister, and all they knew that James had been killed, and that God didn't always step in to help, but they continued unceasingly to pray that God would send forth his help in this matter. And my hearers, they had such an abundance of the spirit of prayer, these people, that they were so united together that they couldn't leave off praying. And now while they were praying in this house, we read that there came, while Peter was sleeping, an angel of God. A light shone down into the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, and he awoke him up, and he said, Arise, Peter. And Peter arose. And he told him to put on his sandals, he told him to bind his cloth around his body, and he told him to follow him. And he followed this angel, and the doors of the prison went open before him. The chains that were on his hands, they fell off. And as they went past the two guards, the doors opened, and they came to the gate, and the iron gate opened in the front of them without any effort. And this angel led Peter out into the street. And after he had led him out into the street, the angel departed from Peter. And there Peter stood. He didn't know what had happened to him. He thought he saw a vision. He thought he was in a trance. He thought it was a dream, probably. He couldn't understand it. But when he came to himself, then he believed and saw that God had sent an angel to deliver him out of the hand of Herod and out of the expectation of all the Jewish people. What a wonderful thing this must have been for this man Peter. He had nothing to do with this deliverance, not a thing. No creature helped him whatsoever. It was purely from heaven that he was brought out of this prison. And while he stood there contemplating on the wonder that had taken place, he began to think, where should he go? What should he do? Where would he be safe? And he resorted to this house, a woman called Mary, who had a son by the name of Mark, who also was an apostle. And the commentary says that this house was close to the temple. It was in this house that the apostles gathered together for services. It was in this house that the Holy Spirit descended down upon the apostles. And they were wont to gather in this house together. And Peter knew this, and therefore he resorted to this house. Did he know that they were praying in this house? I don't think so. He knew nothing of it. He just went to this house to find shelter for the night, probably, and then he would flee to some place where they would not be able to find him. And now when he came to this house, all these people in this house, they were praying to God for the deliverance of Peter. And he came and he knocked on the door. And these people inside, they heard the knock, and they began to wonder what that meant. Who was this? Was it Herod? Had he found out where they were? Had he sent his soldiers to take them all prisoners? Oh, who was this at the door? And we find they sent a maid to the door by the name of Rhoda. And when she came to the door, she inquired who it was that was on the outside of the door. And when she heard the voice of Peter, for she had heard his voice many times. She had heard him preach, she had heard him speak, and she had heard him pray many times in their assembly, and she was well acquainted with his voice. And when he made himself known, for gladness of hearing his voice, she let the door shut, and she went back to the people that were praying. And she says, Peter's at the door! Peter's at the door! The people that were praying there, they couldn't believe that she spoke the truth. They said unto her, you are mad. You are beside yourself. You just imagine this. No, she constantly affirmed that it was Peter's voice that she heard and that he was outside of the door. And my hearers, they went to the door and they opened the door and there was Peter. They had been praying for this. And now if they had had faith, this is my surmise, then they wouldn't have said to this woman, you are mad. Go open the door because we've been praying for this and he's there. We know he's going to come in. But they had no faith to believe that he was going to be delivered. It was a wonder to them people that Peter stood at the door. And then when Peter was given to enter in, you can imagine the gladness that these people had when they saw Peter. There was their beloved apostle, their minister. He had been spared by God himself. They had nobody to thank but God only. And he had nobody to praise but God himself, who had delivered him out of the prison and given him to return to the flock that was gathered together there. Oh, what joy they must have experienced, these people together. In answer to their prayer, before they even call, he says, I will answer them. And while they are yet speaking, and while they were yet praying, God answered them. And now Peter, he went away from this place. The commentary doesn't say where he went to. The Bible doesn't either. He must have went to some place and hid, a place that he knew that they would not find him at. And now the next morning, these soldiers, when they found that Peter was gone, there was much disturbance and much anxiety and fear in the hearts of these soldiers. You can imagine that. They had been put there to protect this Peter from getting out of prison. And now he had been taken out of the prison without them even knowing it. Or whether God had brought down upon them a deep slumber and they had never noticed it, the scripture doesn't say. But it does say that they did not know how that he had got out. And now these soldiers, they were in an awful fix. And they knew this Herod, what a tyrant he was. And they knew that he sure would take their life. So there was quite a stir there, my hearers. And sure enough, when they had to make it known that Peter had escaped, then he sent to examine the keepers of the prison, and he sent to try to find Peter. And when he couldn't find him, he gave word that the keepers of the prison should all be slain. These men, the guards, the soldiers, they were killed because they had let Peter escape. Why did he do this? This his pride wouldn't allow him to let these men live. This was the way he put it to the people, that it was the fault of the soldiers that Peter had escaped. He put the blame on them so that he would not give the honor to God who had brought Peter out of the prison. And now this King Herod, he was so mortified by this, he left this place, Jerusalem, and he went down to Caesarea, and there he abode. And now the inhabitants of Tyre and Zidon, two important cities on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, these ports were very busy ports. They were used by the maritime service quite extensively, and they were supported by Herod out of the land of Canaan with corn. And now these people, they had offended this king in some way. What they had done, scripture does not say, and the commentary likewise. But they had offended him. He was highly displeased, it says, with the inhabitants of Tyre and Zidon. And now he intended to make war against them people. And these people were filled with fear and anxiety. So they sent messengers and ambassadors to go down to this Herod to try to talk to him and to try to make peace with him so that he wouldn't come and destroy their cities and the people that dwelled in them. And these ambassadors came and they found a chamberlain, a servant of the king, by the name of Blastus, and they talked to him, and they probably bribed him with gifts and with money, and they got him to give his consent that he would go in and speak to the king. They figured if they had him, he was the right-hand man of the king, and probably he could put a good word in for them. And he said he would. And he went in, this Blastus, and he talked to the king that these people of Tyre and Zidon, that they felt they were guilty and they had done wrong to him, and they had come back and they asked him for forgiveness. Wouldn't he forgive them? Wouldn't he put off his mind that he was going to make war with them? And he was so taken up with this in his pride that these people fell before him. So he consented to this Blastus, and he arranged an interview with these men, and he would make a speech before them. Now we read that this Herod, he entered into a theater in Caesarea. He had built this theater himself in honor of Caesar. And now it appears that there was a certain festival being held there, and the second day of this festival, this King Herod, he entered into this theater to make a speech unto these people from Tyre and Zidon. Now he entered into this theater with all the glory of his kingly robes. He had a cloak on him that was woven with silver. And as he entered into this theater, the sun shone on this cloak that he had on. And all the people were dazzled with the appearance of this Herod. And when he sat upon his throne, he made an oration to them, a wonderful speech. He probably first pointed out to these people what they had done and how guilty they were and how he had been ready to condemn them and to destroy them. But now that they had been penitent and returned to him with suits of mercy, he would forgive them. They would be again established in his favor. And while he spoke this way, the people gave a great shout. All this speech satisfied these people, for a cause it was in their favor. And now they cried out, not the voice of a man, but the voice of God. And they gave this man then the glory that God should have received. This man, Herod, he was very fond of applause. He was a proud creature, and he loved to have the people flatter him. And when they called him this, not the voice of man, but the voice of God, he did not speak to them people and say, please, don't talk like that. Those things shouldn't be said about me. He didn't reprimand them for saying this, but he accepted it. Oh, he was so lifted up with what they were saying. Now this Herod, he was so satisfied at this present moment that all the people paid him homage and that they thought he was a god. My hearers, Josephus, the historian, he writes about this incident. And he says that this king came into this theater and he made such a wonderful showing with this cloak and made such a wonderful speech And that when these people said this to him, he accepted it, he rejoiced in it. And just as this took place, we read in the Bible that an angel smote him. But Josephus says that there came an owl, and he landed right on the top of his head. And as that owl landed on the top of his head, immediately he was struck inwardly with such terrible pains in his stomach and in his belly that he began to cry out of the terrible pains that he had. And as he was falling to the ground under these severe pains, he turned and said to his friends, "Friends, you have just honored me by saying not the voice of a man, but the voice of a God. Now that means that I am immortal, but now it shall be proven that I am but man and mortal." 5 days later, this man, Herod, died of these terrific pains. Scripture says he was eaten of the worms. God then vindicated his justice and his wrath upon this man. One thing about this, we must give Luke, the writer of this chapter, credit that he does not bring in the wrath and the justice of God upon this man for killing James and apprehending Peter. But he lays it to the blame of accepting the glory and the honor due to God. Therefore, God smote him. God smote him and made an example of this man right in the front of all the people in the theater. He was instantly brought down to the ground. The theater had to go home, and they carried him out of the place. And that was the end of this man, Herod. Pride cometh before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. See it in him. See it in Nebuchadnezzar. See it also in one of the kings of Israel, who went in and wanted to offer up incense, and God struck him with leprosy. Uzziah was a leper until the day he died. What for? Pride and a haughty spirit. In this lesson, my hearers, that we have Peter, an apostle, a child of God, taken prisoner by Herod, a type of the devil, held in prison, and for that purpose, so that he would be killed. In this we have a spiritual lesson. It pleases God many times to let some of his most prominent children be tormented by Satan. And Satan comes to these creatures, and he tempts them in many ways to fall into sin, and succeeds. And these poor creatures, they have no power against Satan. And Satan leads them from one sin to another sin. And then after he has done this, my hearers, he turns around and points out to these creatures what they have done. Look at that. Look how you slipped there. Look how you fell there. Look what you've done there. Look at your conversation. Look at your life. You a child of God? You think God's going to listen to you? You know God only goes good with the righteous and treats them well, and he listens to their prayers, but you think he's going to listen to you. And he brings these creatures into prison. And they are shut up in the prison of unbelief. They are shut up because they are guilty. They are wretched. They are miserable. And what the devil says to them is true. They have to say yea and amen to it. And there they are, shut up in prison. And some of these poor souls, they think they're going to die in that prison. They think they'll never be delivered out of it. And they often say, if ever I'm delivered, it'll be a miracle if God ever brings me out. Here we have Peter being delivered by God himself, a miracle. Fear not, soul, whoever you may be that may be in this prison. Now, there is one praying at the right hand of God, just like the church was praying for Peter. There is a mediator at the right hand of God who knows your case, who pleads your cause on high. And now you may be in this prison a long time. Whatever brought you into the prison, you're in it. Let me say that each and every creature by nature is in prison. Satan has taken hold of Adam and Eve, and they fell, and they brought themselves into a state of sin and iniquity. And they, likewise, brought their sin upon us. And we all are in a state of sin. We are dead in trespasses and sins. We are held down by Satan and by the chains of our sin and guilt, and we cannot deliver ourselves. The saddest part of it is we don't want to be delivered. But we are in this prison. Young and old are in this prison by nature, and even God's children are brought into prison, as I just described. And now no one can deliver any soul out of that prison. We read that an angel came down unto Peter. A light shone into the prison. And that's what God does. The first time he comes to a sinner in his state of sin, he lets light down into the prison of his soul. He gives him to see what he never saw before. Oh, what a sight meets such a poor creature's eyes. He never knew he was such a creature. He never knew he was such a sinner. He never knew that he had gone so far from God. But this is what they see by this light, my heroes. And the angel told Peter to arise. And so God that gives the sinner to arise. He's still in prison. He arises, but he's not out of prison. And now it was the last night for Peter. The next day he would be taken to be executed. And so it goes with sinners who are in this prison. Oh, it appears that God don't want to hear, that they'll never be delivered. But there comes a last night, a last hour, a last moment for such a soul. Oh, it's lost. It's undone. It's impossible that such a creature will be delivered. And yet, God comes, and he delivers that soul and sets it into liberty. Oh, what a wonderful deliverance it was for Peter, and what a wonderful deliverance it'll be for you, soul, if ever the Lord brings you out of prison. If ever he gives you with Peter to come to yourself and say, now I know that the Lord has delivered me out of the hands of Satan and out of the hands of all my enemies. Oh, what a blessing if we experience this in this life. There lays also a lesson in what the people of Tyre and Sidon did unto Herod. They had offended Herod, and Herod sought to destroy them. We, every one of us, have offended the King, the Almighty God, by our sins. And they humbled themselves in and through an ambassage and found mercy and found peace with that King. So we likewise. May we be given to humble ourselves and seek peace in and through the only mediator, Jesus Christ. And may we find grace in his holy sight, that we may be spared and not experience what Herod did. For Herod was destroyed. Herod will be brought to terms in that great day of account for the death of James, for apprehending Peter, and for making himself a mock God. May God keep us from pride and from a haughty spirit. And may he bring every person here out of that prison, which I have given you a faint description of, that you may be delivered from this prison here below and enter into that glorious abode in heaven above. That's all for today.